Thank you. Thank you, David. With the remaining time, I want to continue in this vein of comfort to say something more about not just our individual comfort, but our collective comfort, our being comforted together, our comforting one another. In the before I touch that, I would like to recommend a hymn that we can sing these days, a hymn familiar to some of us and not necessarily to others. And I'm trying to find it. I believe it is 341. This song, the chorus is what make it famous. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. I'd like to briefly tell, especially the younger generation of saints, the story behind this hymn. There's a Christian man, his name is Horatio Spafford, an American from Chicago, very accomplished lawyer and a man of achievement. And he was even asked to support and help D.L. Moody. This is in the late 1800s, in his crusade. Then the Chicago fire happened, which basically destroyed his home, his business, his possessions. And in the aftermath of that, he sent his wife and two daughters to England just to be away from the situation there in Chicago. While they were in their steamship en route in the Atlantic to Europe, there was a collision between that steamship and a schooner. And within 15 minutes, a very short time, it sank. And the cable came to this brother from his wife, saved alone. In that disaster, both of their daughters were drowned, except the mother, who survived. And the story goes that when this brother Spafford took his journey to Europe to reunite with his wife, he was in the vicinity of that tragedy. And it was in those times or those moments, I don't know, that he had these feelings and he penned this hymn, which was set to music by some others. And you look at this hymn, remembering this is a person who, within a very short duration, lost literally everything except his own life and that of his wife's, everything. Inexplicably, incomprehensibly, you can imagine the sorrow and the grief that this brother was experiencing. But he wrote this hymn: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." A person who acknowledged his lot as from God. He did not question. He did not doubt. He was crushed. He was in pain. He was bereft totally. But he said, "My soul is well." You can only ascribe this to someone who is comforting and nourishing his soul. And who could that be except the shepherd and overseer of all of our souls? We sang the hymn this morning on Psalm 23, and that is on a lifelong shepherding by Jehovah God of his saint, of his follower and believer, and may I say of his lover and pursuer, which I believe we all are. We all enjoy that hymn and like that hymn, and that hymn is always comforting in circumstances like these. And there you will find the same spirit, the same attitude. There was nary a murmuring sound. There was nary a voice of complaint. There is not the feeling of anger. There was rather peace, rest, quietness. Recall the still waters and the rich pasture. The enjoyment of the Lord's name, the Lord's presence, even of the shepherd's rod and staff. Victorious, eating a feast in front of his enemy, and constantly followed by goodness and mercy, with the goal of entering and dwelling in the house of Jehovah. Today, that would be the church, the Father's house, the body of Christ, where we belong and what God wants to gain for his satisfaction, for his rest, and for his expression. Verse 2, though Satan would buffet, though trials should come, I like to still stress this point, that it is always Satan who is the instrument, again being provoked by how much God loves us and have this marvelous plan of salvation for us, that we would eventually become fully one with God, expressing God and even representing God, to defeat, to deal with the enemy himself. So he's provoked. He's provoked. And I would suggest you read footnote 1 of verse 39 of this passage we read in Romans 8 this morning. You will see this written in a very marvelous way. And let me read it to you. The love of God is the source of his eternal salvation. This love is in Christ and has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Nothing can separate us from this love of God. In God's salvation, this love to us has become the love of Christ, which does many marvelous things for us through the grace of Christ, until God's complete salvation is accomplished in us. That salvation includes, as we know, the wonderful judicial aspect of our redemption, and the more marvelous, the greater aspect of the organic salvation of life that will cause us to be wholly sanctified and eventually becoming the same as God is in life and nature, becoming his increase and enlargement. That is God's counsel. Satan knows this. These marvelous things provoke God's enemy to attack us with all kinds of sufferings and calamities. You say, you blame the devil for everything like this. I surely do. As the instrument to hurt, to steal, to destroy, to kill, bringing about all kinds of things, including in Job's experience. However, because of our response to the love of God in Christ, these attacks have become benefits to us. Dear brothers and sisters, can you believe this? Can you understand this? Beneficial to us. For what? Beneficial for what God intends to work in us. Beneficial to us living and magnifying Christ. Beneficial for us to have this Christ constituted and built into our being. Benefiting us in the way of consuming our outer man, but renewing our inner man as a procedure to bring about that new creation. These things are necessary. And they are God designed and God measured for each one of us. Hence, we more than conquer in all our afflictions and calamities. This aspect of overcoming, to overcome our environment and our suffering. To keep our eye on God's plan and God's heart. To open to be gained and possessed by the Lord, and also to gain him, so that he can be our inheritance and we can become his. All these things. And eventually that we would be conformed into his image and to be glorified in his glory for his full expression. And all these processes makes some of these things necessary. When you see this, you would say amen. Though Satan should buffet, those trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. Oh, this assurance, this brother was even more assured in spite of the calamities. Not less, but more, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate. This is true. This is our experience. And hath shed his own blood for my soul. The Lord saved us for all of this. The Lord called us through his death and resurrection, what he accomplished on the cross. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. A person whose mouth is nothing but praise and exaltation to God. Can we say this? I know it's not easy. For me, Christ, be it Christ hence to live Christ, that's for me to do. If dark hours about me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou will whisper thy peace to my soul. This is Philippians 1. Whether in life or in death, Christ will be magnified in my body. I'm here to live Christ. This is not to deny all the human feelings and all the human suffering, all the grief. It is there. It is there. But I believe this brother while tears may be filling his eyes, his heart, his soul was well. Now, coming to this word of mutual comfort, in Thessalonians, this is particularly spoken. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul talked to the Thessalonians because they were wondering, what about the dead believers, those who died among them? Paul says, they are sleeping. You should not grieve, even as also the rest who have no hope. I refer to this. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so also those who have fallen asleep through Jesus, God will bring with him. Now, I would not talk about the next few verses about the Lord's coming, the Lord's collecting the dead and the living to be with him in the clouds. But in verse 18, it says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. These words, these things, even about the Lord's coming, in this case, is not for a prophetic purpose. They are for the purpose of rendering comfort to one another. In these times, brothers and sisters, let us comfort one another. Not only the families that are bereft, but one another. I believe there in Europe, so many saints and children of God, they must be comforting one another very much because none of us can bear these things alone. We're not meant to. We're in a greater family of God. We are members one of another. We should bear one another's ills. We should suffer along with each other, according to 1 Corinthians 12. We really are members of each other. And then in 2 Thessalonians, Paul says this, as a word of encouragement to the saints towards the end of the epistle, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope in grace. We more or less covered all these things, these factors and divine factors of comfort. Verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. So here, Paul's concern for the Thessalonian believers is that their hearts may be comforted, so that they would be more established, more grounded, more steadfast in every good work and word. In their lives, in their church community, they would actually be more established. I do have a prayer within me for us in Northern California, for the dear ones, especially in Sacramento, that after we pass through this together, this tragedy together, we will all be actually more established in the Lord. And then we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this famous passage on the God of comfort. It says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassions and God of all comfort. This word comfort includes the feeling of being cheered, being made pleasant. Such a title is very, very unique. And Paul used these titles because he is very concerned for the Corinthian believers, that they would be comforted and encouraged. Why? Because when our heart is not comforted, when our heart is not encouraged, when we are in a disturbed state, we're in a stirred up kind of condition, this will cause us to not enjoy Christ. You know, I think in Colossians it says their hearts may be comforted. Let me see, Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be comforted, they being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God Christ. That means the first thing, brothers and sisters, our heart needs to be comforted. And then secondarily, that we will be knit together in love. And then thirdly, the result, the issue of this is that we can begin to realize and apprehend all the riches of Christ. This will affect our understanding. This will affect surely our experience of the mystery of God Christ. And there, also in Colossians, it talks about one Tychicus who is burdened for always for the comfort of the believers in Colossae. And Paul in Ephesians 6 talks about that. Let me see here. Ephesians 6 verse 22. Talking about Tychicus again. He said, him I have sent to you for this very thing, that you may know the things concerning us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Paul sent his co-worker somewhere just to do the work of comforting. Dear brothers and sisters, these days I feel we need to learn to comfort each other. Comfort each other. Verse 4 in 2 Corinthians, I continue, this God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in every affliction through the comforting with which we ourselves are comforted by God. If you read the next few verses, for even as the sufferings of the Christ abound unto us, so through the Christ our comfort also abounds. But whether we are afflicted, it is for your comforting and salvation, or whether we are comforted, it is for your comforting, which operates in the endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And lastly, verse 7, and our hope for you is firm, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you are of comfort. I counted within these 4 or 5 verses, comfort, comforting, comforted appeared 10 or 11 times. Paul was filled with this thought of comfort. He said that even all the sufferings that he and the co-workers were going through, and there is a lot of suffering, physical, psychological, I believe spiritual. And while in those affliction, they were comforted by the God of comfort himself, so that they can comfort those who are in affliction through the very comforting they have received, and that they have been comforted by God. Dear brothers and sisters, this is my point. My point is, let us find comfort in the body. Let us find comfort in the church. Let us find comfort in the brothers and sisters, the saints. Let us find comfort in our other members. And also, let us comfort others. Let us comfort others. Talking about shepherding people, one of the most important things in shepherding is the work of comfort. Back to Psalm 23. the whole psalm on the Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. This lifelong shepherding filled with just encouragement and comfort. So these days, let us not hide. Let us not stay away from one another. Let us not especially become isolated. Because if you do, you may be taking a risk of being touched by the roaring lion. Let us depend on the body as we should. Let us draw closer to one another. Not only should we draw near to God as we should, let us draw near to one another more than ever before. Let us love one another. I also believe after these times, the Lord would not only do a work of establishing our faith, the Lord will also do the work of knitting us together in love, that we would be more built up, that we will be more blended, that there would be more love in our midst. I hope this would be the case, and I do pray for this. In the coming days, and even now, those who are suffering may be those who can comfort others the most. That song on the grapevine that Watchman wrote about the suffering of the vine, all the stripping, all the pruning, all the being left in the cold, almost like abandoned. But out of that vine and the grapes and the fruit of that vine flows the cheering wine. To give cheer, to give joy, to give happiness, to give encouragement and consolation to others. My, isn't this the way we should build up the body of Christ? Isn't this the way we should build up our local churches? I feel the Lord love us. The Lord love the dear saints. The Lord love these affected families. The Lord loves the churches. And in these days, of course, let us remember them before the Lord. You know, I end with this burden, and that is, these are surely days of warfare, human warfare, and even the more in the unseen realm, the spiritual warfare. It is always there, but it is intensified, as is predicted. As we draw close to the and closer to the end of this age, that warfare is stronger. The conflict is greater. And in these times, we all, brothers and sisters, must learn to put on the entire armor of God. I say again, do not be by yourself. Do not become seclusive. Put on that whole armor that only the body can put on. The helmet of salvation, especially because Satan would shoot his fiery darts at our mentality of threats, of fear, of doubts, to undermine, to stir up imaginations, to put us in a panic, a state of panic and uproar, where our true condition to enjoy Christ within must one be tranquility and peace and calmness. Put on that helmet of salvation. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Protect our heart, our conscience. Our heart is so important. And our thoughts. That's why in Philippians, we should learn to cast our cares on the Lord by means of petition and our prayers. Make known our needs to Him. And the peace of Christ, the peace of God, will garrison our hearts and our thoughts in Christ Jesus. Garrison, protect, securitize our heart and our thoughts. And brothers and sisters, in these days, be sober-minded. There will be a lot of talks, a lot of news. I would even suggest we spend a little less time on those news, like every other minute, and get stirred up again and bothered again and unsettled again. Let us spend more time really in the holiest of all. Let us spend more time in the Word, and let us spend more time in prayer. In prayer. In Ephesians 6, it says, praying at every time in spirit, watching unto this with all perseverance. Praying for the saints. Praying for the saints. We need to pray for the protection of the saints, the covering of the saints, the mentality of the saints, the emotions of the saints, the safety of the saints, the strength of the saints. Oh, these are the days of prayer. I think this is quite good enough for my sharing this morning. May the Spirit of the Lord use some of these words to bring consolation to our heart and encouragement as well. May the Lord bless the churches in Northern California and in his recovery. Brothers, back to you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Minoru. Like our brother mentioned, Christ is the anchor within us. And our spirit is joined through the heavenly ladder to the Holy of Holies. So rather than remain in our mind, in our thoughts, we need to continue to remain in prayer and stay in our spirit where the anchor is. And our brother gave us 10 items of comfort of God or from God that are a comfort to us. And we can continue to get into these things. And then also, not only should we be comforted in God, but also we should have comfort from one another, to not remain alone, but to both be comforted by the other members and also to comfort the other members. And we can spend some time getting into hymn 341, which our brother got into and told us the story of. And also the first hymn that we sang on Psalm 23, which is hymn 527. We can also get into Romans 8:39 in footnote 1 there. And then I think our next session is going to be March 26th. Is that correct, Brother Minoru? Are you still available then?
Yes, I think so. I think the brothers better confirm that. I think so.
Amen. So that will be our next session. And then any subsequent sessions we'll announce in the future. Now, just like last time, we can take a few minutes to have some corporate prayer together before we end.
Amen. Amen.